Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. This is the reading of God's Word. The disciples of John reported to him about all these things. Summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?'" At that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us, so that we may give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And Father, through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all of us, that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will understand and believe and obey your word. Let us live that obedient life so that we may bring glory and honor to you in all things. Receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10, we saw Jesus Christ healing the slave of the centurion who was about to die. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 17, Jesus says, "Raised a son of a widow." And this son was actually dead. And now we come to Luke chapter 7, verse 18. I wanted our sermon for today to cover all the way to verse 35, but that would make this sermon too long. So we'll only look up to verse 23 and finish the rest next week. So let us begin. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. The disciples of John, meaning John the Baptist, reported to him, John the Baptist, about all these things. Even before chapter 7, Jesus has healed many people from their sicknesses and casted out many demons from many people who were suffering from the demons. The disciples of John the Baptist also heard and even saw what Jesus has done. And these disciples, they came back to John the Baptist and told him about what Jesus has done. At this, we read Luke chapter 7, verse 19a, summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, well, John the Baptist sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask a question. And Luke said this in Luke chapter 3, verse 19 through 20. But before I read that verse, At this point, we need to remind ourselves that John the Baptist, he is in a prison. So his disciples came back to him, but he was in prison and they were telling him what Jesus is doing out there. And John the Baptist, what happened? We read in Luke chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, but when Herod the Tetrarch was reprimanded by him, meaning John the Baptist, because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the wicked things which Herod had done, Herod also added this to them all. He locked up John in prison. So in prison then, John the Baptist sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask a question. Luke chapter 7, verse 19b through 20. The question is, are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else? Luke is using what he is writing to repeat this question twice, to emphasize this question. So if you read 19 and 20, are you the expected one or do we look for someone else? When the men came to him, Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one or do we look for someone else? So that it will stay in your mind, this question. Because we also ask this question all the time. And I will show you how we ask this question. You and I saw in the earlier chapters in Luke how John the Baptist recognized Jesus even from his mother's womb. And in John chapter 1 verse 29, as John the Baptist points to Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We could see that John the Baptist, he believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And he and the Israel, Messiah that he and the Israel were waiting for. And yet he asked this question, are you the expected one or do we look for someone else? Are you the true Messiah or do we wait for someone else? Now, why does John the Baptist ask this? Because we saw already that he does believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, just like the other Israelites at the time, he misunderstood about the Messiah. See, Israelites, they did not understand who the Messiah is and what he would accomplish when he comes. They were waiting for a worldly Messiah. They believed that when the Messiah comes, he will destroy the Roman Empire and he will establish a worldly kingdom and the Jews will rule the world. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ had similar beliefs until the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. The Israelites at the time were under the dominion of the Roman Empire. And with their earthly understanding, they asked this question, is Jesus Messiah? If Jesus is the Messiah, then the question is, why is the Israel still under the dominion of Roman Empire? John was asking, if Jesus is the Messiah, Then why am I still in a prison? That was what John was asking. Because if you're truly the Messiah, then I'll be free. I'll be ruling the world with you, the Messiah. But he is in prison. So he's asking this question. Are you the expected one, or do we wait for someone else? If Jesus is the Messiah and the year of the Jubilee has come, then why is the Israel still under the dominion of the foreign country? Luke chapter 3, verse 16 to the 17, John answered and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." See, if Jesus is the Messiah, then he would judge the Roman Empire with unquenchable fire. But Jesus is not doing anything in terms of judging this world. During the feeding of the 5,000 people, the Israelites wanted to force Jesus to be their king. They thought, if Jesus be their king, then they will always have food. And with that ever-ending food, they could control the other nations in the world. Food is a power. But what happened? Jesus flees from them. You see, Jesus is so different from the Messiah that they were imagining. And what Jesus does is also so different from what they thought the Messiah would do when he comes. Thus, they could not accept Jesus as the Messiah. And that's exactly what happened. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah. The same thing happens today in the church. People imagine Jesus according to their sinful minds as to who he is and what he will do for them. The problem for them is that Jesus would not do what they imagine that he will do. Thus they complain. Thus they start questioning Jesus. And John the Baptist is doing the same thing here. It is not that he does not believe Jesus as the Messiah, but he is questioning Jesus because Jesus is not doing what John imagined the Messiah would do. And why is John questioning Jesus this way? Because his suffering is great and it is long time. Because he's in a prison. Can we blame John? No. But he's wrong. We could say that, but we do the same thing. When our suffering is so severe and long time, we question God all the time. We complain why he is not doing this and that. We act like we know better than God problem is always that God does not do what we want. We know so well. We know what God should do in all situations. And many times that's what our prayers are about. We tell God what He should do because we know better what God should do. And when our prayers are like that, you're behaving just like the Israelites who were waiting for the worldly Messiah. So you think only if God just do what I say, then everything will be okay. Problem is that God just, He doesn't listen. This is what the sinful world does. They always question God. They say, if God exists, then why does He allow the evil to exist? They don't understand that the evil you see, God just leaves them, sinners, leaves them alone in their sinful life. That's what judgment is all about. And God will more and more leave them in their sinful ways. So the world will get worse and worse. This is the judgment of God. And we're not surprised by how this world is becoming worse and worse. God told us. It's because of sin. Oh, you think this is worse? Just wait a little bit longer. It will seriously get bad, according to the Bible. Well, in fact, the whole world will burn up. It will be completely destroyed. We know why these things are happening out there. This is why we need to repent of our sins. Rather than complaining, why does all these things happen? No, worse things will happen. Because this sinful world will not repent of their sins. But they question God. Rather than repenting and coming back to God, they question God. If God lives, then why all these bad things happen? As if God did not tell us why. He did. Just because it does not fit their understanding, they question and they complain. You come to the Bible and you have to change your thinking rather than trying to change the Bible. Everything is going according to God's plan. Not what you desire. And true Christians, we have no problem with that. We want God's will to be done. We always pray that your will be done. And yet, we complain because God's will is being done. See, this world, they complain because they know they cannot control God. So they make false God who they could control. We're going to look at this issue more next Lord's Day. Like I said, you know, we wanted to go further than verse 23, but we'll do that next time. Even the brothers of Jesus did not understand Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 3 to 5. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. See, the Messiah, according to their understanding, is a worldly Messiah. So why is Jesus not showing himself to the world, they complain. If you're the Messiah, you need to go out there and impress the whole world. You must do bigger things so that they could see you. You see, they just don't get it. And there are so many people in the church who just don't get it. It's not about being bigger and better in this world. If God gives you wealth, then use it. Use it for His glory. Enjoy it. But see, that is not our purpose. I'm not against you being rich. Oh, sometimes I wish some of you are rich, so rich that you would buy us church building, whatever. If God gives you, then that's fine, but that is not your purpose. Purpose is to obey God. That's why we're saved, so that we could obey Him forever in that glorious place. It's not to show off. Luke chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. At that time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits. And he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." See, Jesus answers the John the Baptist. Jesus tells the two disciples of John, go back to John and report to him what they have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Why does Jesus say like this? Well, even from the Old Testament, God has said that these things will happen when the Messiah comes. It's exactly according to what God has said. God said, when the Messiah comes, these things will happen. And Jesus came, and these things are happening. Isaiah 35, verse 5 through 6. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened when the Messiah comes. The eyes of the blind will open, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. The waters will break forth in the wilderness and the streams in the Arabah. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Isaiah 29, verse 18, on that day the deaf will hear words of a book, And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Isaiah 42 verse 16, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged place into plain. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. I could go on and on. God has said that these things will happen. And it is happening. Jesus is doing these things. So Jesus is saying, look at what is happening. Look at what I'm doing. All the things that the Old Testament promised to happen when the Messiah comes are happening now. I'm doing all these things. Then the question is, then who am I? And he says in the last verse that we read today, Luke 7 verse 23, Jesus says, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. See, Jesus will never do the desires of the sinful mind. But these sinful people will take offense at Jesus. Just because Jesus is not doing what they ask or what they desire. Jesus becomes their stumbling block. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 14, then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both the house of Israel, and stone to strike and rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now I ask you a question. How about you? Does Jesus become your stumbling block? Do you have problem with Jesus Christ because he does not do what you desire him to do? Who do you think Jesus is? And what do you expect Jesus to do? What do you believe? And whatever that you believe, I ask you, where did you get that? Did you get that in the Bible? Or you just think that that's how Jesus will do? Does Jesus become a stumbling block to you? This is the question I want you to ask yourself. First thing, brothers and sisters, you must understand that the kingdom that Jesus is accomplishing is not a worldly kingdom. See, if he is accomplishing the worldly kingdom, then everything changes. But it's not. Luke chapter 17 verse 20, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Why? Because it's not a worldly kingdom. It's not something you could see in this world. John chapter 18 verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. See, his kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. So the wealth of this world has nothing to do with that kingdom. And we know that Jesus accomplishes this kingdom in two stages. At the first coming, he accomplished it spiritually, meaning that it is not visible yet. And at the second coming, the kingdom of God will be visibly consummated. And even when it is visibly consummated, it is not a worldly kingdom. Even when Jesus comes and we could see that kingdom, still it's not worldly kingdom, it's a heavenly one. There's nothing for you if the only thing you want is world and the worldly wealth. There's nothing like that in heaven. And if you truly understand, you will not even want that in heaven. Why? You have better things, heavenly wealth. And you already possess them in Christ, even though it's not visible. Some say that the final judgment of God did not happen at His first coming, but that is wrong. Even at the first coming, the final judgment of God has happened, even though it was not visible. I mean, to us it was visible, but not to the world. The final judgment has already happened at His first coming. Where do we see that? On the cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was that final judgment. It was the final judgment for the believers. God has judged us already in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's not that He's going to judge us in the future. He already did. 2,000 years ago, on that cross, He judged us in Christ. This is why there is no more judgment for us who are in Christ. John chapter 5, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Hear what God tells you. You and I, we do not come into the judgment because we are already judged in Christ. So you could see, even at His first coming, everything that belongs to the end has already happened. And the kingdom has already been established. But it's not worldly. It's not visible. Brothers and sisters, I have already said this so many times. Sufferings in our lives are no longer God's judgment like during the Old Testament times. Even when I go through so much suffering, it does not mean that God has forsaken me or God hates me. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5b, God said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Romans chapter 8 verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In Jesus Christ, even death is gain now. We must believe. Unlike John the Baptist, oh, he was going through so much suffering. But he misunderstood the nature of the kingdom of God. He misunderstood who Messiah is and what he has come to do. Now, yes, many of us, we're suffering. Life is hard. But remember, it's blessings in disguise. And it's not even disguise. People just don't understand. But just because you go through so much suffering, Don't say these things with your misunderstanding of what God is doing. Don't complain. It's okay. Oh, it's better than okay. God is making you to that person, into that person who belongs to heaven. Brothers and sisters, ask this to yourself. Why would Jesus not give you all things? If that all things benefit you, why would he not give you? Wealth of this world is not to have it so much that you could boast, I'm better than you or whatever. No, life is all about preparing oneself to go to heaven. And even this person is becoming more and more like that person who belonged to heaven. He's molding us, making us, even though he has already made us perfect in his sight in Christ. We must believe Jesus did not come to make us wealthy and healthy in this world. And just because you might have a little bit more wealth or better health, it's nothing to boast about. It might be the person without them is at that time being more blessed. Understand what God is doing. Understand what he said that he will do. So that you don't have to be like John the Baptist. Because it is all about misunderstanding, expectation, false expectation of who Jesus is and what he is doing, even now. What promises of God that Jesus did not fulfill for us? What? And if he did everything that he has promised, then what complain? Ask that to yourself. What promise of God Jesus did not fulfill for you? What did Jesus withhold from us? He came to save us. He came. He became a man for us and received so much suffering for us. And he finally died for us. Why would he not love us? Why would he not give us all things? Romans chapter 8 verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? But when it comes to worldly things, he doesn't give us all things. Why? Because it's not good for us. Oh, brothers and sisters, at least trust God that much. If you have son or daughter, little ones, and when they ask you for candy, you will not give that candy to them. It's not because you don't want to give it to them. It's not because you don't love them. You know it's not good for them. At least we need to trust love of the mother. I mean, we don't even question, why is she not giving it? No, we don't do that because we know, we trust mother's love toward son and daughter. At least trust God in this. If it is good for you, If it is beneficial for you to be the person that God has purpose for you, then He will give you. Trust Him. Don't make your God into some monster and just, pleased with just making you suffer. No. Brothers and sisters, let us trust our God. He loves us. We must believe that His grace is truly sufficient for us. We must believe. So, I don't compare myself with other people. I don't compare my car with other people's car. I don't compare my house with other people's house. No, God will do exactly according to His will. All that is good for me, He will do and He will give. I don't need to compare. Because I know God loves me. I have no doubt whatsoever about that. Why is our thinking so twisted towards Jesus? It is truly a tragic if Jesus becomes our stumbling block because you think that He is not doing what you desire Him to do. We must believe that all things are according to His purpose, according to His plan, according to His will. The kingdom of God is from the very beginning, exactly according to His will. And we will not expect anything else. Of course it will be according to His will. Nothing. See, nothing is so powerful that it would happen even though God did not will it. Which means whatever happens in my life is God's will. And somehow it's good for me. This is why the world will look at me and say, how stupid is that person? It's okay. I don't care I'm stupid. I trust God. Really don't care. All right, I'm stupid. So what? And if it is being stupid means I'm going to obey God's will more and more, then I want to be stupid more and more. And I think I'm becoming like that as I get older. I say some dumbest things and I forget some just trivial things and just regular things. I should never forget it. It just happens in my life. And people laugh at me. They're like looking at me and go, oh, mocking me. It's okay. Because I'm not seeking their approval. I'm not even seeking your approval. All I need is God's approval. If He accepts me in Christ, that's fine. I'm not here to please you, just like you're not here to please me. Don't ever ask me to please you. And I'm not going to ask you to please me. We're all here to please God. Brothers and sisters, this is what Christian life is all about. We see very clearly through the book of Luke who Jesus is and what He came to do. The book of Luke clearly witnesses Jesus as the true Messiah. We do not ask Jesus, are you the true Messiah or do we look for someone else? No, we don't ask that question. Jesus is the true Messiah. He is the true God and the Lord for us. And we are so sure that John the Baptist, who is in heaven now, he does not question Jesus any longer. He is having the sweet communion with Jesus Christ in that glorious place as he worships and serves Jesus for eternity. And we will, you and I, we too will join John the Baptist very soon and live with Jesus Christ forever in that joyous fellowship of heaven. And that life, in fellowshipping with God, that life has already begun in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, especially you young people, don't worry too much. That's God's command. Do not worry. Trust God. He will take care of you. He will lead you. And you don't have to question Christ in any way whatsoever. Don't question Him. Trust Him. Believe. And just live happily, no matter what happens. Just be happy because of Christ. And people will call you crazy. And you say, yes, I am crazy for Christ. Because Christ, He is the only person that matters to us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this joy we find in our hearts. Yes, we might be facing problems out there, difficult times. Things are not going our way. But Father, we are still rejoicing because You are our God and we are Your people. Oh Father, we love this time of worship because during this blessed time, truly, nothing really matters to us. Only You, our God, You matter to us. Oh, Father, we thank You. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.